You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Brighter Life. I'm Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with my co-host, Nicholas Brighter. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm glad to be here.
You always say that. You're always glad to be here.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me happy.
Oh, good.
And happy is a vibration. Did you know that?
I guess I hadn't considered that before.
Okay, that's so silly. You're the vibration expert, and happiness mm-hmm. is a level of vibration mm-hmm. that people have. And because I've been doing some studying on it. So right now we're at season 2, episode 2, but we're going to do a continuation of last week's show.
Okay.
So kind of like part B, because we talked a lot about vibrations.
Okay, so this is part B of last week.
Yeah, kind of, but even though it's episode 2, you know, of season 2. So I had a lot of fun last week talking about vibration. So this week, mm-hmm. we're just going to recap. And for any new listeners, what we mean by vibration is your energy level. And the philosophy or the thought is, or even the facts, are that our planet is made of energy and everything that exists is energy. It's really along the theme of like quantum physics, that every single thing vibrates, you know, even rocks, even solid matter. It's all atoms and everything vibrates. So even the vibration between you and I, you know, sitting in the same room communicating, mm-hmm. you know, there's this vibration just from you hearing my voice and the vibration that's just in the room, vibration when you step outside, any environment that you put yourself in. There's vibration and energy everywhere. And we as human beings have our own energy. See, you're the expert, and I've just been reading all this. And
I would say yes. I focus mostly on the vibrational level that a person's, their perception of their reality is. Okay. And I know that, you know, how you sort of perceive things would be along the lines of what you're saying. I don't know if in actuality, you know, our universe actually works that way, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Well, I believe based on quantum physics and even the string theory, you know, that scientists have been mm-hmm. studying, that everything is connected and there is a vibration level. I tend to lean towards quantum physics personally, but we don't really need to get into that. But last week, what we did, which was so much fun, mm-hmm. is we went over the different labels. We actually labeled vibrations and put it on a scale. It's kind of a man-made scale, but somebody had to actually write something down. And anyone can come up with their own scale, you know, if they really want to study, you know, a scale. But this, you know, there's a couple different people. I've been reading their books, and one is Dr. David Hawkins. He's an MD and a PhD.
Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with Dr. Hawkins. I think he's one of the, you know, he's one of the current, I would say,
your vibration,
there's some differences. So I kind of look at it mostly difference of how the way that they organize their explanations.
Okay. And so they had to do it so that people can actually read about vibration levels. So they mm-hmm. actually had to put numbers and words, you know, to explain it. And I've noticed that Dobson and Hawkins, they have different scales. So that's mm-hmm. why I was saying that somebody could, you know, create their own scale, I suppose, if they want. But you need a baseline of how to even start. Mm-hmm. Yeah, are their scales similar?
There is other scales. I'm not familiar enough. I know that they exist because I've seen them.
Okay.
But I'm not familiar with the details of them. I do know that the Hawkins scale and Dawson scale are very similar, and I would say the differences are minor and come down to It's sort of like everyone's idea on if everyone on the planet was going to measure the energy level of things themselves and come up with their own scale, their scales would be very similar and have some minor variations. And that's basically what I see between Dodson and Hawkins, is they're very similar. A lot of the things are actually exactly the same.
Okay.
And there's just minor differences.
Okay, so basically, like, I could come up with a scale and I could make it like 0 to 10. Like, mm-hmm. their scale, one scale is like 0 to 1,000, another scale, I think Hawkins is 700.
It actually should be mentioned, if we're gonna talk about the scales that exist with those two people, that Dodson scale is technically a 0 to 1,000 scale, but that he, I believe the only thing he ever rates above 700 would be God.
Okay, so then he's actually quite close to Hawkins. So, but yeah, just what I'd like to do is just to sort of recap what we talked about last week.
Last week,
really was more detailed in the different levels, and I'm going to assign a number to it just for illustration purposes.
Okay.
So we're going to start, and I'm going to do this quickly because then we're going to, you know, share some personal stories about our own vibration levels, or at least how you helped me very, very recently. Anyway, peace is at level 600, and this is according to Hawkins, and it's basically absolute effortlessness and oneness and bliss and just the perfection of life. And so it's sort of beyond, you know, even your own, you know, intellect. It's the peace that actually passes, you know, all understanding. And it's very rare in the human realm. So maybe, who would you, like, maybe Buddha would be there, Christ, Krishna, you know, some Mother Teresa, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it is important to point out, though, that almost everyone has experienced at various points in their life each of these things for at least short periods of time.
So, nice.
So everyone is familiar with these and knows or has a very good idea what they feel like.
Okay. So then we're going to go down to joy, and that is at 540, and that's just love that is unconditional and unchanging, you know, despite circumstances or even the actions of others. So that's a different type of joy than just you personally feeling joy. I mean, others' actions don't really affect you because you kind of look at the big picture or have a greater understanding of where they may be at that time of life. Next would be love, and that is at 500. And it deals with a wholeness, not breaking things down to particulars. And as perception is replaced with vision. So instead of having our perceptions of how we see reality, we actually have a vision. It also has a lovability that exists. They love, because it is the love. It's the love at 500. Next is reason. I think I've been here a few times on some occasions. And that's really the science philosophy of just being completely objective, not making a rapid decision, and having your decisions, when you're in reason, they typically are, they are correct. They're correct decisions. And so mostly, you know, medicine, you know, well, people that are, you know, maybe doctors, where they have to really rely on logic and reason something out, that is expressed at this level. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you will find, you know, the scientific method, a lot of people that use it, will be operating, can be operating.
They have the ability to objective. So, and that's.
Well, I would, the objective part, I would disagree with that, but they can be as objective as possible as they try to.
Okay. Next is acceptance, and that is the energy of acceptance, the vibrational energy. It's easygoing, it's laid back, you know, the people are flexible, they're free of inner resistance. And so, in other words, things aren't, you know, holding them back. Life is good. We all know somebody where it's like, hey, life is good. You're good. I'm good. You feel, they feel connected. They meet life on life's terms. In other words, they don't have to overanalyze. It's like, you know, it is what it is. But most importantly, people in the acceptance vibration level is they don't blame themselves and they don't blame others in life. So,
and I think it's an interesting thing about the acceptance level is it, if a person is not driven enough and they reach acceptance, it can be easy to not go beyond that point.
Okay. It's funny because I think of myself and I think, you know, I wish I could be at just acceptance, you know, which is 350. That's pretty darn high on the scale, you know, the scale of vibrational life. So next is willingness. And that's the energy that subserves survival by virtue of a positive attitude, you know, and they're willing to help people, to assist people. That's their expression of life. They have a willingness. Is there anything more? Because I'm a little unclear on willingness.
Well, when you get on the positive side, willingness is sort of being willing to do something at someone else's, you know,
benefit?
Insistence. Yeah, oh. Yeah, and something that would benefit someone else at their insistence. Like, if someone says, hey, can you help me out with this? The level where you're going to be willing to do that without necessarily expecting, you know, just to do it.
Right, anything in return. Or are toweling. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I did this for you, so now you have to do something for me. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's what I mean. However... how this would apply to someone else's, this is the level where a person is actually going to be taking action to improve their situation. That is going to be beneficial and not driven by the lower levels, like plotting and ego-driven. This is where you're going to have goal-driven people.
Okay, I like that. So willingness is at 310.
Okay,
next we're going to go to neutrality, and that's at 250. Now, we just let everyone know anything above 200 and above is in the positive on the vibration scale, and anything below 200 is in the negative. And I heard from you that once you are in the positive, you start at, let's say, courage, you're in that phase that it's easier to move up, to flow up, as opposed to if you're in the negative, to move from one level to another. Is that true, or did I misunderstand you?
What that sounds like, what I probably said would have been, because it's something I've said before, is that above 200, and I'm pretty firm on this belief, that if a person tries to improve their energy level, they generally won't drop below 200. And, I mean, while we're on that topic, goal setting and people that make goals, and that's what they do during their day, is go for their goals in their life. And if a person has goals and they have a list of goals that they know about and they go for those goals in their life, in general, they're going to be able to get to that 310 point, and that's where they will end up. They will have to evolve past that. They'll have to sort of change their outlook. But a person simply having a list of goals and going for those goals, they're going to have a tendency to be drawn to that energy level.
Okay, excellent. So now we're at 250, and that's neutrality. And that's a way of life that is just comfortable. And this is where, I don't know where you would put me, but in my mind, I feel that I'm at this sort of neutral level where they're comfortable, they're pragmatic, and they're relatively free of emotionality. And, you know, it's okay either way. In general, now, I wasn't there a few days ago, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sort of in general, maybe that's... I'm close.
Okay.
You know, that's going to be my next level, I'm hoping. I feel like I'm there often throughout the day.
It could be a transient level. So it could be a temporary thing. It could be either a low or a high point. So it's temporary. But something to keep in mind is that in general, people's energy level during the day, definitely during the week, will fluctuate about 100 points in either direction. So it's about a 200-point sort of window, and your base level is in the middle of that. So whatever, anything that you can really identify on this list, your true energy level is probably within 100 points of that, but it could be as far as 200 points away from that.
Okay. Well, at neutrality, it's free of a rigid position. Like, we all know friends where they are absolutely like this. They will not move. There is no variation. They are just absolutely rigid. Mm-hmm. And but then what I like about it is they're not judgmental, and they're not competitive. And I think I said last week, it doesn't mean that they don't want to compete. They don't want to do better, but it means they're really competing with themselves as opposed to competing with somebody else.
Okay, yeah. And you're going to find a lot of things that are, let's say, well, most of them are at this level, like the DMV are around here.
You'd put them that high?
I probably,
because they
I probably
are very actually, rigid in their position, and they will kick you out.
I probably put them closer to 200.
Okay.
So on the Dodson scale, it actually could be a little bit different. But the point is that it's a functionality.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Then that explains it. Okay, now we're at 200, and that's courage. And this energy is the energy that says, I can do it. Hi. Okay, we had a little bitty glitch there. I'm going to repeat courage. So courage is at 200. And that's the energy where people, instead of saying they can't do it, they actually say, I can do it. So it's a willingness to try, and they actually believe that they can do it. They're excited about life, right? Mm-hmm. They're excited about life, and they want to be productive. They're independent. They're sort of self-empowered. And, you know, they believe that things are possible. So they have the courage to believe that things are possible. And that's a good place to be, since below that we're in the negative. But
if a person, courage is the, it is the positive tipping point, 200. Okay. And so it is a good thing in that, especially if a person's come from a lower level, and I would say that most people are below 200. That once they reach courage, it's sort of like they've reached a point where they realize I do have control over my life and making it in a way that I want. And they finally have the courage to, you know, to take action, knowing that they're accountable.
So now we're going in the negative, and negative, the first one is pride, and that's at 175. And its focus is on like achievement, desire for recognition, specialness, perfectionism. It feels better than I'm better. If I do something that just makes me feel better, it doesn't matter that much about anyone else because I am superior to others. And I've recognized this in a few acquaintances, that they just simply want something. They want that recognition, and they will do whatever it takes to get it. If they have to tell you all day long how wonderful they are, they will. So
it's a point to go. If you're at a low energy level, then to get to a high energy level, you have to pass through everything. But you're going to find some interesting people at that point.
Actually, I find the most interesting people, and I think that that's just me, because it just astounds me.
I can understand
my
that.
Megalomaniac friends. Like, yeah. I am a superstar, and it's like, well, you know, I think that that's wonderful. You know, you go be a superstar. You know, my life is fabulous, and I'm brilliant, and I'm this, and I'm that, and it's like, okay.
There are definitely entertaining people at that level.
Yes, and surely we've all been there at some point. I mean, maybe I boasted here and there about things I don't know.
Everyone's small self is, Hawkins would call them, which is the ego self. Everyone has that. it's the voice in a person's head that they identify as themselves. That's me.
Oh, okay.
Everyone has that, and it thinks the same, and everyone has the same kinds of thoughts in every person.
But then again, I have a question. So, I mean, wouldn't you rather think highly of yourself than think lowly of yourself, to think less of yourself?
Well, you know, the enlightened people of the world have accepted that that's them, and that that's a part of them.
Their greatness?
that there was a time when that's how they looked at things.
Oh, okay. Okay, so now moving down the scale, we're at anger.
I'm sorry to finish that.
Okay,
there was a time when they accepted that that was them. They weren't better than that,
and that's okay. Because it doesn't.
It's still a part of them, but they transcend it in a way where it's not. They're not at its mercy like they were before.
Okay, so their whole drive, their purpose for being is not based on other people recognizing their accomplishments or their achievements.
And they understand that they have that limitation. So it's sort of like if you don't know that there's something directing your actions, then you're going to be at its mercy a lot more than if you are aware of it and then try to master it so that you can control it and not as much the other way around.
Right, because that's what drives them. They don't even see it. They just walk around as if they're just, you know, perfect people. And by God, everyone around them needs to know. Because it's for their benefit, because they're in the presence of this wonderfulness.
Yeah, so the reason why I point out that, you know, if someone's enlightened, that they've accepted that is because there's a lot of people that will, you know, have a certain kind of thought, and they'll say to themselves, like, oh, no, that I'm not the kind of person that has that kind of thought. I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to put that away and pretend it's not me. And that is, they've now put it in their unconscious rather than accepting it. And it will come out far more often when they put it in their subconscious like that, when they repress it. So, okay. So it's repressed when they do that. Rather than accepting it, surrendering that's a part of them, and letting it pass.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So, in other words, they've let that emotion or that thought pass, and now they're not subject to it anymore because they've accepted, like, that's me. They've let it pass.
Okay. So it's not ruling them.
Rather than repressing it, where it will come up, and they will act it out almost without knowing it because it's unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we all have known people that are in the pride stage of their life, or at least they're stuck in pride. Hopefully mm-hmm. they can get to courage, because we're in the negative now. So
we do need to just accept that everyone has that part in them, I guess.
I like that you're explaining this, because I would like, in my mind, I would like mm-hmm. to not be this person, mm-hmm. you know, or have ever thought these thoughts. Or have ever, you know, but I like that you're explaining that, because...
You don't have to feel guilty over having that part that part of you. So anyways, next.
As long as that's not what actually drives you and you can move forward up to courage. So anger is at 150. And let me think. So anger is, you know, it's funny. Anger is at 150. And I'm going to describe it. It doesn't mm-hmm. sound that great of a place to be. But in the scope of the scale, mm-hmm. it's still sort of a midway point. I mean, it's certainly better than being at apathy.
It is actually an interesting level, and there are unexpected reasons, good reasons, to be at anger for people that are at lower levels that a lot of people at higher levels actually aren't aware of.
Okay.
Sort of.
Okay, so it is, oh boy, how would I describe
Which
this?
I can explain later.
So
I
they force threats, they attack, they're irritable, explosive, bitter, volatile. There are people that are resentful. Now, we've all been resentful at you know, any given time, but they're resentful in general. I mean, they're just resentful often. And they really have a need to get even, or I will show you. So there's a difference between you might be angry at something, but you don't have that part of you that's like, well, I'll show you. You know, someone cuts you off in traffic. You're just going to, okay, you're angry for that moment. You're going to let it go, but you're not going to show them. You're not going to get even. You're not going to follow them to their house.
Yeah, well, you know,
and get back at them for their...
To overcome that is learning forgiveness. So I would say, it is forgiveness for the betterment of yourself. To not be ruled by, you know, letting someone get you angry, because those thoughts about getting back at them, that's taking away your time from, you know, thinking about what you actually want to be thinking about.
Okay. Or what would be just healthier and best interest, really. Okay, so now we're at 125, and that's desire. And this one I think is also kind of interesting, like the pride person. Desire is the next one. They just simply want to seek gain, to acquire, you know, acquisitions, you know, to seek pleasure, getting something, you know, outside of themselves. They have this craving, this insatiable craving. I have to have it. It doesn't matter that they may not need it. It doesn't matter that they don't require it, you know, to be happy. They want it, but what's really important is that they are never satisfied. Never satisfied. Once they get it, they're not satisfied.
Or agreed with scale, which I like. Although I think it's a different word choice, because I know that they're kind of from maybe different generations, and I think Hawkins uses some older words. So it's I think it's just a different word choice, but it is looking at also a little bit differently on top of that. So the thinking is that with desire, it is the idea of the person lacks. It's the lacking.
Oh.
And the identifying that I lack this thing that I want. This thing that I want, I lack it.
Okay. And in desire, do they ever get this thing?
They can.
But then they're not satisfied.
They may or they may not be. Probably if they're at that energy level, then they probably still won't be.
So
an interesting thing to point out is that in general, any sort of the human body is at 200. And so what this means is any very base instinctive desires is something that would measure at 200. And so this desire is not referring to any of the primal desires. So basically, romantic or hunger or safety desires are going to be more 200 level desires. But anything other than that, I would put at this level.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. That actually helps me. That makes a big difference, what you said. So now we're going down to fear, and that's at 100. And that is the energy, and I've definitely been here, was to see danger in everything. It's avoidance, it's being defensive, it's preoccupied with security.
Oh, and if I could interrupt you, there is a way to explain the previous one much simpler, which I believe is, it's the difference between an abundance mindset, something kind of popular these days is to say things like that, an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. And
okay.
So its desire is being in scarcity.
Okay.
And desiring because of that.
So that's a little bit different than I was thinking. Desire, by the way, if I didn't mention it's at 125. So
I wouldn't use the word desire to describe that. I think it's an older.
So what would you replace desire with? What would you say?
Need, wanting or lacking.
Ah, wanting. You know, that's even an older word.
Feeling like you lack. Okay. Yeah, wanting could give the... I would put most romantic desire, I would put it 200, and including things like hunger, any primal drives at 200. And so that's why I don't like the word desire, because a lot of people are going to think that with desire, they're going to apply a romantic desire.
I see what you're saying.
And it can be.
Well, I think the only where it applies is if you want somebody to be your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and you just want them because you want them, not because there's any love. You just have this desire because it's... And then when you get them, you just move on to whatever your next thing is that you want, if you're even able to.
I think that would be at 200.
Aha.
Yeah.
Okay, well, something that I'm just seeing it different. You're the one that's done a lot more studying than me, and this is not actually even my area. I'm just fascinated from knowing you.
I can see an argument for 190.
Okay.
But it's right around 200. It's right around where the human body measures at and where a lot of animals are going to. Because a lot of animals measure at 200, it's sort of like anything that's a primal drive is going to have a tendency to measure there. But anyways, we're kind of going.
You know what I find interesting about all this is animals, you're saying, are basically at 200. Their baseline is like at 200. Of course, they have to, you know, they have survival instincts. But yet mankind, where we can go up to these higher levels, yet, and you know, with reason, and that's what separates us from the animals, yet we're also, we can also go way below because we differ from the animals.
It might be a little, if you were going to explain the idea of animals, maybe. Then that idea would be at 200. So
I don't know what I'm talking about, kind of. Okay, sorry, everyone.
Maybe your pet dog might be at 200, but I mean, if we were going to explore the reality of some insect flying around, I don't know what their energy level would be at. I don't think it would be at 200, but
maybe it would be above.
It wouldn't be above.
Because it's all based on instinct. You know?
Yeah, maybe it would
they
be.
They live, a, they buzz around the guy.
Yeah, it could be at 200. It is the level of functionality. So, yeah, we're definitely worker honeybees and ants.
Thank goodness for the honey. Okay, so now I'm going to go a little bit faster because we're at fear, and that's based at 100. And it's the danger, avoidance, preoccupied with security. That's why I say I've been here, because I've been preoccupied with security. Jealousy, they're restless, they're anxious. I've been anxious, not too terribly jealous, but restless, definitely, and anxious, and vigilant. So
the anxiousness is, I think, important to point out here, because there's a lot of anxious people that I think are functional people. And so it's just kind of interesting to point this out, that that is an aspect of them that does measure low. It doesn't mean someone's base level is down there. But when someone's anxious to the point where whatever it is they're doing, they're worried about some fear of something that could possibly happen, even if it's, reasonable, but far beyond what most people would
I
have,
what you're saying.
Because at any given time, something horrible could happen to you, and you can't always be in a state of fear.
Well, you can't be preoccupied. That. I mean, as long as you're aware, you know that what you're doing. That if you're going to go swimming in some water and there's a bunch of alligators in there, realize that could possibly happen. So why not swim?
It is there is the issue that there are times when you should be in a state of fear, but it's sort of like. Maybe the simplest explanation I guess I have is, what are most reasonable people going to feel in that? Are they going to be in a state of fear over that?
It's the preoccupation. When your energy level is at 100, you're preoccupied with danger around you, and you're preoccupied with being defensive and
I think you're right on that. The preoccupation, I think, is the defining characteristic.
So now we're going down to grief, and that's at 75. And this is where it gets really, really sad, because it's really just a sense of helplessness and despair and loss. And if only I had done this or done that, life would be different. They're mournful, and just to have that. Really depressed and feel that they just simply can't go on. So
And guilt is going to be at that energy level also. I don't know if, is that something that Hawkins mentions on
the
scale?
He does. He actually puts guilt below. He puts guilt second to the lowest. He puts it at 30. Okay. And it's sort of an energy field. Where you actually want to punish yourself and be punished. A lot of self-sabotaging, people that are accident-prone.
I apologize. I was jumping ahead there. Because I think a lot of people kind of guilt is not good for your health, but it does have a purpose. But we're jumping a little bit ahead.
Yeah. So after under grief is at 75. I'm just going to go very quickly. Then there's apathy, which is at 50, and that's complete hopelessness. You know, you really can't do it, but more than that, who cares? And poverty is common.
Who cares? Because no matter what you do, the situation's...
It's never going to change. Right. So if you live in a poverty-stricken area, and you really are at that point where you don't even care. You know, what does it matter? And then below that is guilt, which you were talking about. And that's where you do the self-sabotaging. And that's at 30. So we're getting,
So in regards to guilt, there's the, I suppose I would call it the not a healthy way to use guilt and the healthier way to use guilt. I'm not going to call them right and wrong, but I almost feel that way to use guilt. But one's definitely healthy and one's unhealthy, which is when you feel guilty over something, you need to, or the healthier thing to do is to accept that you feel guilty over it. Why do you feel guilty over it? Well, because of this and this reason, or why I feel guilty over it, and accept that you feel guilty over it, and sort of internalize it. I feel like I shouldn't have done that. And then surrender it and let that feeling go. Now you know to not do it. If you say to yourself, next time I'll do something different, you don't really want to dwell on that too much unless it's something that you commit to 100%. Otherwise, you'll have that reoccurring thought of guilt when that situation comes up that you might not act on again, and then now you're extra guilty, or it might just be, it'll be more likely to be a recurring thought. So in general, just accept that you feel guilty. I feel guilty because I have this belief about my morals say this, and I feel like I shouldn't have done that. And I feel like next time in a situation like that, I should. And that's what guilt's for, is to teach you that lesson and then let it go. Surrender, holding that guilt in and bringing it with you throughout the day has very negative health effects.
I understand. So. In fact, it's funny that you say that, because next thing it says in the guilt area, I can't even remember where I read it.
Did I interrupt you before that?
No, but in the guilt area, it talks about, psychosomatic illness.
Yes,
so a lot of people, so if you're there, so that's just going, yeah, interesting. I don't have all the details on that, but that's in that vibration. This is shame. And I don't know that much about shame, but I think it's when you really are destructive towards yourself and cruel towards others. So your health can really be in decline, and you're not taking care of yourself because you're so shameful. Why do you even deserve to take care of yourself? And 20 is pretty low. Do you think people, if they're in shame, ever can move up?
They're going to have difficulty. It's going to be a point where a person feel they're below hopelessness. So keeping that in mind,
okay,
this person is hopeless, and in addition to that, they have difficulty even being around people because they're humiliated over either their situation or something they did, and they feel hopeless. They don't even feel like they can overcome that feeling of humiliation. They are permanently humiliated, and it could simply be that they had potential that they didn't meet, and they can't bear to have, the world see them having not met that potential.
So they'd rather almost not even live, or even to be, even talk.
I think it's a state of completely having given up. Giving up on any hope.
It would be hard to sort of... get out of that, unless I don't know what would
happen.
I guess
actually that'd be hopelessness. So it's below that.
I can't even imagine being below hopelessness.
That
they call shame. Okay, so we are going to take a little mini break, and when we come back,
that's something to be grateful for, by the way. Right when you wake up in the morning,
and you're alive and you're breathing. So we're going to take a little mini break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some situational things that have happened to me, and how Nick actually, through therapy, helped me out. So just stay tuned. Be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We just took a little mini break there. And now I'm going to tell you, I had a therapy session actually with Nicholas Brider. With, you know, he's an expert in vibrations. And so that's what I wanted to, you know, have a little counseling therapy session. So my area is counseling. It's like holistic counseling. I'm a naturopathic doctor. And so I work with people often. But then there's an occasion that I need help. Mm-hmm. You know, well, okay, I should say more than just an occasion, mm-hmm. you know, here and there. In fact, someone was telling me, you know, people that get into your line is because they have issues and they're trying to figure themselves out. And that may be the case often, but not always, you know. Yeah. But I mean, where does your interest start? You know, yeah, you want to know more about.
I don't know exactly about thing related, counseling, therapy. There is a very high chance for them to take on, you know, a lot of medical diagnosis, and that being aware of energy levels and how that can happen can prevent a lot of that from happening.
Excellent.
And also yeah. enable you to heal many of those.
Well, if you have multiple clients that are seeing you on a daily basis mm-hmm. and you're trying to help them, if their energy level is low, that's what you've been exposed to for 9 hours, you know,
if
every day, 5 days a week.
A lot of suffering yes. and their and how they suffer through it, and also how their family suffers through their suffering, then it can expose you to low energy levels, which are not good for your health, especially if you feel any sort of guilt. If you feel increased guilt from that, I don't exactly know the mm-hmm. the you know the exact method that would happen. It's not something I can relate to myself. I can kind of see it happening, but just being exposed to it can lower your energy level, maybe just temporarily. So the other areas of your life, you could still be very high, but being exposed to this sort of, you know, over years, potentially low energy level, and not understanding how mentally handling it in the wrong way can negatively affect your health, opens the door for that to happen. Especially if someone is very analytical and left brain minded, they're going to have a tendency to repress. It's not going to be good for their health.
Mm. Well, it did happen to me, and that's, as you know, that's why I came to see you. So I'm going to make this a very, very quick story. I have a person that has been in my life for many, many years. This is somebody that, you know, way back from high school. So a long relationship. She has had, you know, some issues. She's had some successes. She's had some heartache. But she's always had a little mentally unstable.
Okay.
And I've known that. Her mom did tell me that she was diagnosed by a psychiatrist as having, you know, some personality disorder, and that she was, you know, bipolar as well as is a narcissist. So I've been aware of that. So, you know, your friends.
Her mother mentioned the narcissist part
yes,
also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she did. as well as borderline personality disorder. So, but it actually helped me, because knowing that about her, so that mm-hmm. when she would act out, I would just think, well, you know, she has some problems that mm-hmm. she needs to work on, that it really doesn't have anything to do with me. And this is well before, you know, I ever went to school. And learned, you know, more details about it. But just knowing that actually was helpful. And her family knows that. And she's just a difficult personality. So now we live actually quite close to one another, which is just a coincidence. She thinks that I actually sought her out because she's in Pride often. Mm-hmm. That, of course, I wanted to be near her.
Right.
Right. And that's okay. You know, when she says that, I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, it's good, whatever you think. If that's your reality, that's perfectly fine. So when I very first moved to Houston, she would come over often, like maybe a couple times a month, you know, every other week, or even sometimes even four times, like once a week, to just, you know, for a little visit. And it was always nice. Well, it was to the point where I'm coming over right now. I'm going to go swimming in your pool. I'm going to bring my dogs to swim in your pool. I mean, it just, so I had to taper it off. So I tapered it off. And the last year, I've only seen her twice. Mm-hmm. Just two times. Mm-hmm. And each time was sort of, when she left, it was, I can't believe she did that. She went swimming in my pool the first time, and she went poo in my pool.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Which is very strange because, you know, it contaminates the water. And yes, I actually had to call some experts and find out, you know, I raised the level of my chlorine. Mm-hmm. I changed out, you know, my filter. I, you know, drained most of the pool. But she mm-hmm. just mentioned that to me. Like, oops, sorry. And it's mm-hmm. like, who does that? You know, so I know that she's just strange and has, I'm not going to psychoanalyze her.
I would imagine that your pool would, number one, you wouldn't be able to use it while it was contaminated. And then while it's being cleaned, especially if you're doing it by using a lot of chlorine, it would be unusable for a while as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. So left like it was just some accident. Like, oh, I'm just older and somehow it just slipped out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, meanwhile, she comes over to my house a few days ago. When was it that I met with you? I met with you right afterward. So very soon after. Why are you laughing at me? Okay, you guys can't see him, but he's actually kind of chuckling because the story is so ridiculous. She comes to my house, and I know better. I don't let her into my home. I visit with her outside. It was a beautiful day a couple days ago in Houston. It was about 85 degrees. And we're visiting outside, and she always comes up with an excuse to try to go into my home. Rather be putting food in my refrigerator, some excuse. I typically will follow her in because I never know what damage she's going to do or mm-hmm. create or fall and then, you know, sue me. So she ended up going in my house. And when she came out, she said, I have to use the bathroom. Well, you can't deny somebody going to the bathroom,
so
right?
This is... It would be difficult. It'd be difficult in that situation to say no. I can see that.
She only lives six blocks away.
It would definitely be annoying.
But, she but could would, have done her business, especially the that, business that she did.
Before
she
you get into the the catch, the hook, or what is it, the punchline. Uh-huh. So this is the person that trouble follows them everywhere they go. Or normally, they wouldn't be in your house unsupervised, but this particular time you just trusted it's okay.
I was sitting outside and I thought, should I follow her in now? You know, what damage can she do? She's just going to, you know, go, you know, pee-pee in my toilet.
This time she's going to go poo in my pool.
Yeah, no.
I mean, sorry. This time she's going to go in my toilet, at
she's
least.
Actually, she's going to go swimming in my toilet.
This time she's going to go poo in my toilet. So what could go wrong this time?
Exactly. Okay, exactly. So she comes over, you know, she uses the restroom. And where the toilet is in my house, there's a ways to the door, the back door where I was sitting out on the patio. So if something had gone wrong, like the toilet exploded or something had gone wrong, she would have known. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she comes outside and she mentioned something that was just so odd. She said, you have the nicest toilet paper I've ever seen. Now, I can tell you, I have the cheapest toilet paper. Mm-hmm. I base it when I go to the grocery store, whatever's on sale.
You don't get it like the artisan toilet paper store?
No, nothing. Toilet paper.
Connoisseur?
Like, not by any means. So I happen to know that it was on sale the last time I went toilet paper shopping.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, this is such an odd conversation that she would be praising my toilet paper. And I thought, well, she doesn't have her purse with her, so she didn't steal a bunch of my toilet paper, which she could have. So then I said, well, you know what? It was nice seeing you. I mean, she had already, you know, maybe another half an hour went by. Mm. And I, you know, I'm kind of ready to go. I said, I'm gonna go, but you know, thank you for the visit. And she said, No. I want to show you something at my car. I'm like, okay. Brings me to her car, engages in a conversation, she doesn't show me anything in her car. She just wants to show me a couple of things that are actually wrong with her car.
Okay.
Right. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, these things are wrong with your car. And so, you know, and then she drives off and that the car thing to distract me from going in the home with a little red flag. Talking, praising my toilet paper.
Do you think that? You
which
think
is the only compliment she's ever given me.
Yes, yes. I think I remember you mentioning, yeah, okay.
So I open the back door. She's long gone. And water starts pouring out my house. My house is you know, and I don't know that she didn't do this.
I'm going to go, I'm going to take a crap in Leslie's house.
Yes.
Because that's how I feel about Leslie, yes. Or maybe. Yeah.
And it was just a bonus that it flooded, because I've been in toilets that have actually flooded
before.
Because
she's not giving me proper respect or something. Or because my house isn't better than hers.
Yeah.
But, or because it is. I'm going to show her why.
Yeah, because she has a poo house. And there's actually feces floating on my floor in my living room. And there's toilet paper.
I hadn't heard that.
I didn't share that part. There's so much toilet paper that there's actually white, like, sheets all over. Okay, all over the floor. So I have to sort of wade my way with my feet, because I kept thinking I was going to slip on this poo. I go to the toilet and I shut off the water. Mm-hmm. And then I'm in shock. I mean, I actually am in shock. And then I just like had a laugh to myself. Like, why wouldn't she have done something like this? It was like the perfect opportunity. Now, she may not have had the intention to flood my toilet when she went to use it. She had the intention to, instead of going before she came, you know, before she came over to my house, doing her business at home. It was important for her to do her big business at my house for whatever psychological reason, don't care. Mm-hmm. But I think it was just a bonus in her mind, because there's no way she could leave that bathroom without knowing that it had flooded all over. And so I believe this. No, I do not know. I do not know 100%. So now I had a sump pump. And so quickly I sort of went in action mode. Like my mind was like, okay, we have to get this out. Put the sump pump. It took like an hour or maybe a little bit longer. And there was so much water that actually flooded my yard, you know? But I was able to get it out, and I called the insurance company and to make sure I was covered. It turns out that it's about $50,000 worth of water damage. That's for a new floor in my entire lower level. Every single thing, you know, including, it's hardwood floors. So it's real hardwood floors. And then there's some, you know, tile in the entry, and then carpet that goes in a little closet down there. And so
it sounds like everything that the water would have touched, basically,
yes.
Getting replaced.
Yes, it because it was contaminated.
Because that I mean, that's,
on top of it,
it's a big expense.
It really couldn't understand, because I.
It's a good thing you had insurance.
Yeah, I have insurance. So, but I come from an insurance family background, and if I didn't have insurance, right. That would be completely ridiculous.
If you didn't, then they'd be trying to sell you it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I would be. My family would just shame me. That just wouldn't happen in my lifetime. If there's anything, ever since I was a kid, I worked at my dad's brokerage firm. I always knew to be well insured. So that wasn't the issue. The issue is that I allowed this to happen. And so that's why I came to you. Because how did this happen? And I can't tell you how I appreciate that you used the what for technique.
Yes.
Okay, why did you allow her at your home? Well, it went from often to just, you know, twice, the second time in a year. So, you know, but why would you even want to engage with her? Why even that?
What is it when you see her, when you allow her to come over and you're okay with that, what for? Like, what's your benefit? Is it, and for most people, if they have a friend come over, is it because they want the friend, they like, maybe the friend gives them compliments, so it strokes their ego. Maybe there's a hobby that they do with that person. They like that hobby, so that they get to participate in something they like doing when that person comes over. Maybe that person loans them money, and it's a person they take advantage of, so they love it when that person comes over, and that person comes over because you stroke their ego. Or maybe you dread losing a friendship with them because you think they'll, you know, they'll attack you or defame you or there's a million other reasons. But that's exploring the what for.
Yes.
And uncovering that. And then
it was amazing because it was like, ah, this is why I do this. You know, then we went down to, well, I feel a sense of obligation because of all the years that we've known. Why do you feel a sense of obligation? Well, because I kind of feel sorry for her, even though she is a megalomaniac. There's a level that I feel sorry for her. Mm-hmm. And I would feel almost guilty if I just, you know, completely cut her off because she is a fellow human being that I've known, even though she does these wretched things. Not just to me, by the way, to a lot of people. So why would I let this low vibration, negative, you know, entity, mm-hmm. you know, to surround me?
And the important point, though, is that when you're using the what for, essentially asking why, and getting to the base level motive, what's the basis level motive for the reason you're doing something, then you can surrender that emotion.
And thanks to you, I really feel that I can, because then it went down to, she's known me for so many years. She knows she could destroy me. I mean, there is sort of, when you know someone, you know all their secrets and they mm-hmm. know all your secrets, there's a point, and I know that she will go there. And she has years ago. She has gone there, been mad at me and called all my friends and told them anything I may have said, gossip about them.
And I think you put this person at, you think they're at Pride, which makes a lot of sense to me. Was that right?
Yes. And Pride.
Now, so an important thing about that is people at Pride, not everyone, but many people at Pride, especially if they have, if you notice narcissist-like tendencies, they're extremely prone to doing that, to attacking when, you know, to punish someone.
They're vengeful.
Vengeful is the word I'm looking for.
And so it doesn't matter. And everything is, it goes from, you know, 0 to 60 in 1 second. So it doesn't matter if you did something minor that might be minor to someone else, or you did something horrible that they felt was horrible. Mm-hmm. It's all the same level. They're getting revenge will be at the same level. The worst that they could possibly do.
Now, something to take into account is, because I think everyone's had someone complain to them about something going on in their life, someone that wronged them, and particularly when you can identify it as, oh, that person really was wronged, and yeah, like that shouldn't have happened to him. You know, this person, he's completely justified feeling this way, but I actually don't care more than what I'm doing over here. And that's kind of how everyone feels about when. So in other words, they can't actually do too much damage to you, most likely, because most people aren't going to care about what they have to say when they identify, ooh, she feels mad at you. And she's just complaining to them.
Well, that's what you helped me discover, because mm-hmm. we kept going down and down and down, and it came to that. You know, she could maybe expose me. And then I had to think about it. Well, what does she know? She really doesn't know anything. I haven't been a horrible person mm-hmm. in my life. And so she doesn't really know anything. I don't gossip anymore like I used to when I was younger. There's nothing that she could really say that could damage me. Mm-hmm. And so then...
And people aren't really going to care about her opinion.
And she doesn't have... You know, she thinks highly of her opinion, but she doesn't really have anyone to share the story with. And so it came down to where I could just let it go. Mm-hmm. I could let it go because somehow in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, I just wanted to keep a neutral relationship with her. That was the value. That's what I concluded, because otherwise there wasn't much value. The value was just to keep her always at bay so that she wouldn't damage me. And then once I discovered that, or realized, came to the realization with your help that she can't damage me.
When you first said that, I was thinking over just now, I was thinking, I don't think I've ever had a friendship like that. And I realized I did have one in first grade, and it was the last friendship I had like that.
Well, how lucky, fortunate for you, I wish I would have.
Well, because, I mean, I just kind of, you know, put it in a category of, I'd rather I'd rather take with those people, kind of people in my life.
Okay.
More than I have to, I guess. There's situations where you might be forced to, but...
Well, anyway, I want to thank you. Mm-hmm. Really, because, you know, even somebody that's in this business, I need an outside person, you know, to help me go through the steps to get to the point. And what's really interesting is I have not even given her the... Even she's called me several times. I'm not going to answer.
Women would be a lot more prone to having people in their life like that, though. That's just something I kind of realized.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, well, we're going to have to find out statistics and evidence on that. But
yeah, I think
perhaps.
It'd be kind of hard to. The important point with that is it's the surrendering of the base emotion. Yep.
So I was able to surrender, and mm-hmm. I'm actually looking now at the complete positive side of what happened. I learned something. I don't have anxiety thinking about her stopping by. I don't have, because it's not going to happen. I believe now that the relationship is over. Or prior to that, I'll just let her come in so she feels, you know, like I haven't just completely cut her off. And so, you know, in this event,
there's a positive side to everything.
You know, just knowing that I've let go of this relationship, mm-hmm. it's like a weight has come off my shoulders. My house is just material. You know, that can all be fixed. Any damage that happened, that can be fixed. So I'm not too troubled about that. You know, if anything, my entire basement's going to all new cabinets. cabinets are ruined.
I would also imagine, because I know you use some of those techniques in your, those are techniques mm-hmm. you use with
practice.
People that you mm-hmm. work with. And so, you know, using it on yourself, it's sort of, it's like, oh yeah, that works.
Yeah.
It works well.
Well, no, it does. But anyway, thank you. I think we're running out of time. Thank you for listening to my crazy story, and hopefully you learned something about vibration levels. If you want to contact myself or even Nick, you can write an email at The Brighter Life. That's THEBRIGHTERLIFE @mail.com. Just email us any of your questions or anything that you want to add to this episode that you want us to share for next week. And we hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Goodbye.